All right, take the word of God with me, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 7 tonight. Exodus chapter 7. Yes, I am on. Exodus chapter 7. If you're taking notes through this series, I'm preaching on Exodus chapter 6, verse 14, through chapter 7, verse 13. Again, Exodus chapter 6, verse 14, through chapter 7, verse 13. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. Matter of fact, I want to back up a little bit here and begin reading verse number 28, 29, 30, and then verse number 1. So I'm going to read four verses instead of one to get the title of our message here tonight. Exodus chapter number 7, I want you to skip back to chapter 6, verse 28. It came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now there's one little word I want to lift out of the Scripture that jumped off the page to me, and I want to preach a little while on it. It's the little word, see. In verse number 1 of chapter 7. And I want to preach to you tonight on that little three-letter word, see. Let's pray together. This will make sense, at least I hope it makes sense, as we travel through the message. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. And I pray as we gather around your word that you'll calm our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit moving. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Help me to be clean. May there be nothing, absolutely nothing, that's hindering you, I pray, in my life. Forgive me for my sin. And Lord, I pray that you'll take full control of my mouth, my heart, my mind, my lips, my words, everything. May it all be pleasing to Jesus Christ. May you spread a table before us tonight where we can feast and chew on the truths of God's word. Bless us, I pray, and our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the last time we met in this book, we considered when Moses asked the Lord why he had sent him to the land of Egypt. In other words, Moses was questioning the will of God for his life at that time in chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, because things were seemingly getting worse instead of ever getting better. And we preached a message entitled something like this, When All You Can Do Is Ask Why. That's the last time we met together in this book. However, in the time of Moses' questioning, we've already noticed this in the opening 13 verses of chapter 6, the Lord spoke to him in a very real way, encouraging him in his promises. Now, beginning with verse number 14, down through verse number 27, we see that the lineage of Moses and Aaron is spelled out for us. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read that, but something interesting to note about this lineage, beginning in verse 14, going down through verse 27, is how only Reuben, Simeon, and Levi are mentioned. Now, each one of these had committed grievous sin, if you will, and yet the Lord used them in a mighty way. Their choice wasn't due to their exemplary lineage, in other words, but their choice was due to the grace of God. See, it's as if in verses 14 to 27, it's as if the Lord is showing Moses here that he uses people not because of their status, but because of his grace. And let me say this to you. If you ever wait until you feel qualified to serve God, you're not going to do much for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that it's as if God is saying, let me just remind you who you are, Moses. You come from nobody. Yes, I realize you're a Levite, but understand that I'm in the habit of using unusable vessels. I'm in the habit of using things that are weak. And this is how the Lord spoke to me when I was considering verses 14 all the way down through verse 27. The Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt. This is after the lineage here. And told him to go back to Pharaoh and speak everything he told him to speak. Then, I've already read verses 28 through 30, Moses began to speak again, and he's still discouraged. He's still depressed. He's still in disbelief. He's still doubting God. It's as if failure had discouraged Moses to the point that he felt that there was no use to try again. As a matter of fact, when you read his response in verse 30, and Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I'm of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" It's the old story all over again. I mean, God has already dealt with this over and over again. He's already used this excuse, and God's already proven to him that that is no excuse. But yet he's so discouraged, he's so doubting, and so full of disbelief here that he's still saying, he's still leaning on that old crutch, so to speak, and saying, "God, I'm of uncircumcised lips." And verse 30, he's basically saying, "What's the use? Why try it again, God? It's failed once, it's bound to fail again." Now, when Moses answered again in disbelief, and he answered again with discouragement, I'm glad the Lord didn't just turn him off. Matter of fact, you know, God would have been just to say, "Okay, I'm done with you. I'm finished. I mean, I've spoken to you. I've proven my power to you. I've done all of this. You still refuse to believe me. Forget it. I'll find somebody else." You listening? If he'd have done that, he would have been very just to do that. But he didn't. Beginning in chapter 7, verse 1, God continues to speak. And he's speaking to Moses. And as Moses is doubting, he's disbelieving, he's still not strong in faith, the Lord said, "Moses, see." And as you read from verse 1 all the way down through verse number 13, there's three things in this passage that God is speaking about that we can learn from tonight. It's as if God is saying, "Okay, you're doubting, you're still not believing, you're still discouraged, you're still questioning, you're still asking why, you're still doing all of this. I want to sit you down and let me show you some things. I want you to see some things." You know, it's one thing to hear about things. And it is good to hear about things. I mean, he's hearing the voice of God here. It's something else to feel something. And let me say this, I'm not against feelings. But you know, it's another ball game when you see something. And God is showing his servant three things in this passage. And there's three things that we all need to see concerning the will of God. By the way, does God have a will for every person living today? Yes or no? Sure he does. He has a will for you. He has a will for me. Now, that does not mean that his will for my life is identical to yours. There are some things that it's the will of God for everybody. It's the will of God to read the Bible. It's the will of God to be faithful to church. It's the will of God to go out soul winning. It's the will of God to pray. We can all agree on that. But for Moses' life, this was God's specific call on his life. And may I tell you that God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. He doesn't call everybody to be a businessman. He doesn't call everybody to be a school teacher, but he calls everybody to do something specifically with their life. He has a particular, specific will for your life. And when you think about the will of God, I want you to leave seeing three things tonight. Are you with me? Number one, see. Number one, see the making. You say, "What's this mean?" See the making. Look at verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses," now keep in mind Moses' frame of mind here. He's doubting, he's disbelieving, he's asking why. He knows God's will. I mean, God has spoken to him. He knows what God has said. He knows the will of God. There's no question what God wants him to do. He understands what God has told him to do. And in the middle of that, God's speaking to him and saying, "Here's the first thing I want you to see. See the making." Verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee," there's the making, "I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Now keep in mind, when chapter 6 ends, God has just told him, "I want you to go to Pharaoh." And Moses says, "I'm uncircumcised lips, Lord. What's the use? Who am I compared to Pharaoh?" And God opens his sermon, if you will, by saying, boy, the first thing I want you to see is when I call you to do something, I make it possible for you to do it. Now you say, what are you talking about? The first thing we see concerning the will of God, even when you're doubting, even when you're discouraging, even if you're not doubting and not discouraged, just something general about, just three general principles about the will of God tonight, even if you are discouraged, even if you are doubting, even if you are questioning, the first thing to see is that whatever God tells you to do, He gives you the ability to get it done. You need to understand that. The point here is how the Lord told Moses. Moses basically said in chapter 6, verse 30, who am I? And God said, I have made you a God. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that He made him deity? No. There are two lines of thought, and I'm going to give both of them tonight because I like them both. One person put it this way, that back in this day, Pharaoh considered himself a god. Now that's the truth. I mean, the Egyptians, they worshiped gods left and right. And Pharaoh considered himself to be a god. And here's what some people say this means, and I like this. That God is saying, I'm going to authorize you to the point that Pharaoh is eventually going to listen to you. Because he's going to realize that he's not above you. In other words, I'm going to make you so he will pay attention to you. Now, the other line of thought is this. That when he said, I'm going to make you a God, is that the other line of thought is that God was saying, I'm going to make you my representative. And I'm going to give you Aaron to be just like a prophet. But don't get mixed up on that little three-letter word, God, there. Don't miss the main point. The main point is this, where whatever God commands His children to do, He gives them the ability to get it done. God makes His children what they need to be in order to obey the call of God on their lives. See, He doesn't ask His children to do something that He does not enable them to do, is what I'm trying to get across. As the old saying goes, where God guides, He provides. This is true 100% of the time in the will of God. Therefore, whatever God's telling you to do, realize He will make you what you need to be in order to obey His will in your life. Now this is simple tonight. This is basic, just summary truths about the will of God. But here's what I'm saying. There are some people who do not obey God's will. Not because they don't want to. That's another class of people. There are some people who do not obey the will of God because they don't want to. There are some people like that. But you realize that there's another group of people and some of them are sitting in this church. I hope nobody tonight. But there are some who sit in churches like this and they know God's told them to do something. And they even have a desire to do it. But they've swallowed the lie that they can't do it. That it's impossible for them. Can I say something to you? The fact of the matter is, when this happens, that one does not fully understand the will of God. And they need to see that God never tells us to do something that He does not make us capable of doing. Never. Never. Now, I've written down here, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because you already know it anyway. But I've written down here about my own personal testimony. I can't explain to you that when I was playing baseball, I can't explain to you how I just knew it was God's will for me to give up baseball. I just knew it. God spoke to my heart. I had peace about it. I knew in my heart, this is it. This year's it. I'm finished after this year. I was the only one. I didn't talk to anybody. It was me and God. It was me and the Lord. And I knew after my freshman year of of college baseball, I knew that was it. It was done. God just gave me, I knew in my heart, it's the will of God. No question. I just knew it. And as I've shared with you before, the devil fought against that. It's not that I didn't want God's will, I wanted it. It's not that I was battling against it, I was surrendered to it. But there's been times in my life when the thought has gone across my mind, if you will. I'm paraphrasing, and I can't tell you it was then and then and then, but I can guarantee, if you will, that I've had this thought go across my mind, I can't do this. And God reminds me, I know you can. But because you think you can't, then now maybe we can get something done. See, the devil has tried to take what God does and pervert it. Is it true that we need God? Yes. Is it true that we cannot do it in ourselves? Is that true? Yes, that's true. The devil tries to take that and say, look, he didn't call you to do that. You're not gifted enough to do that. He didn't call you to do that. You, there's no way you could do that. I'm telling you that what the devil tries to use to stop you, the Lord uses the same thing to keep you humble and dependent. I've learned that in my own life. The devil's tried to use my stuttering to keep me from going soul winning. He's tried to use my stuttering to keep my mouth shut in witnessing. But the same thing, the stuttering problem, is what God uses to keep me on my face and say, God, if you don't help me, I can't even get my name out of my mouth. Am I making any sense what I'm saying here? I'm saying the first thing we need to see about the will of God is we need to see the making. And whatever God tells you to do, He makes it possible for you to do it. He makes you what you need to be to get the job done. Number two, not only see the making, but number two, see the mandate. We see this in verse 2 all the way through verse 7. Let's read these verses and then I'll explain them to you. The Lord is speaking, says, thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, that's 80, a score is 20, so 80. And Aaron 83, so Moses is 80, Aaron is 83, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Now let me explain these verses and explain to you what I mean by the mandate. In the will of God, see the making. Whatever He tells you to do, He makes you to be. Number two, see the mandate. Here's the point. Even though Moses was questioning and discouraged, keep that in mind. It helps this passage just kind of stay fresh. Even though he's questioning, he's discouraged, he's doubting, and all of this, God is still commanding him. God is still saying, speak everything I've told you to Pharaoh. He commanded him to go to Pharaoh and speak it all to him. Get this. The Lord refused to allow Moses to back out of his will. He refused it. The Lord, get this, when Moses is doubting God, questioning God, why me? Why are you sending me? What's the use of sending me? God said, go to Pharaoh, boy. Give him everything I've told you. Now there's a great truth that comes out in this. It's a great truth. And I want you to ask God to help you see it. As a matter of fact, there's several truths that comes out of this. But here's what I'm saying. Moses had an obligation and a responsibility, even in his discouragement, to keep obeying God. The Lord proceeded to tell Moses how Pharaoh's heart would be hardened against the will of God. In other words, the Lord would allow Pharaoh to continue on in his own rejection of the truth to the point that he, the son that would melt the ice, would harden the clay of Pharaoh's heart to the point that he would not listen to the words of God. The Lord told Moses, as a result of Pharaoh's hard heart, that he would multiply his signs and his wonders in the land of Egypt to the point that they would all know when he's done that he's the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 tell us that Moses and Aaron did as the Lord told them. Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83. Now there's several thoughts I want to give you under the mandate. The thought that even though he's doubting, even though he's discouraged, even though he's questioning, even though he's asking why, even though he's still not believing God, God said, I still got something for you to do. Don't stop obeying me. Don't stop on me. Don't quit on me. Just keep going in the midst of your doubt, in the midst of your fears, in the midst of your asking why, in the midst of your questioning. Keep obeying God. That's what he's saying. Don't stop on God. Keep obeying him. Keep listening to him. Several thoughts we learn here. Number one, first of all, we learn that it's our responsibility to simply obey the Lord no matter how we feel and no matter how others respond. See, Moses is not feeling good here. He's doubting, he's fearing, he's asking why, he's questioning God. But we learn here that God had a responsibility for him. It's as if God's saying, Moses, I'm going to deal with you now. I'm trying to be patient with you. And I know you're doubting. I know you're fearing. You don't see the end from the beginning like I do. By the way, before we get hard on Moses, see, we know the end of the story. Moses didn't. Don't get hard on Moses. He's living in doubt. He's living in fear. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's questioning God. And God is being very patient with him. And God's basically saying this. I know you're discouraged. I know you're doubting. But let me tell you what to do. Even when you don't feel like it, keep obeying me. You know, if you get that when you leave tonight, you've got a whole lot out of this message. That no matter how you feel, or no matter what kind of mental state you may be in, whether you're living in exclamation points or living in question marks, obey God. Obey the Lord. Obey his mandates. Obey his commands. We learn, first of all, that we have a responsibility to obey the commands of God, no matter how we feel and no matter how people respond to it. Because God immediately said, now understand this, when you go, Pharaoh will not listen. Pharaoh's heart's going to be hardened. And he's saying this, no matter how others respond and no matter how you may feel, it does not negate your obedience to his commands. See, there are people today that live in doubt, live in fear, questioning God, asking why. And at that time, they are so vulnerable to fall away. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about usefulness and testimony and everything else. They are so vulnerable to fall away. And here's one of the worst things somebody can do when they're doubting, they're depressed, they're discouraged, they're questioning God, is if they quit on God, get on the sidelines, and start being somebody who watches the game instead of participate in it. It is condemning yourself if you quit obeying what God's told you to do when you're questioning. Some of the greatest things you can do when you're doubting, when you're fearing, when you're questioning, when you're asking why, just like Moses, some of the greatest things you can do is keep obeying God. Just keep obeying him. Keep obeying him. We learned that here. Secondly, under this, we learn that we have a responsibility to tell others all the Lord has said. Notice he says right here in verse number 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Notice he didn't say give him some of it, give him most of it. He said give him all of it. You know, we're privileged tonight to hold in our hands a copy of the living, breathing Word of God. God Almighty has spoken, and I hold His words in my hand. And I'm going to tell you what our responsibility is. We have a responsibility to give what He said to everybody else around us. You know what my responsibility here as your pastor is? To preach the Bible. Preach the word, the Bible says. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Acts 20:27, the Apostle Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know what my desire is here at this church? Now, if God answers this prayer, you're going to be stuck with me for a while. So you can pray against it if you want. But I'm praying that God allows me to preach through every book of the Bible before I die. Every book. Now, that's up to Him if He answers that. He may come before I get done with this message. If He does, I think I'll be okay with that, you know? But I'm praying that God help me preach through every book of the Bible. You know, the beauty of the Word of God is that I could preach the entire Word of God and go back and start again and get something different from every passage almost. I'm not going to exhaust this book. It's impossible. But I do have a desire to preach it to you. I want to give it to you line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. I'm going to tell you something. That's how God builds a church. It's through His Word. It's not through entertainment. It's not through philosophy. It's, hey, are you listening to me? It's not through ministries. It's through faithfulness to this book. That's how He builds His church. And we learn here under this, secondly, that we're to give all the Word of God, not just some of it. Let me give you a third thing we learn here. This is all under main thought number two, the mandate. The third thing we glean from these verses is that we are never too old to submit to God to do something for Him. Moses was 80 years old. Aaron was 83. By today's standards, that's retirement age. By today's standards. But God had something amazing and some amazing things for these two men to do at this point in their lives. You know, Miss Lashley put it a great way, and I like this. Here's what she said, and I quote, "Don't lay aside your armor until God calls you from the battle." That's a great statement. Let me talk to you just a moment if you're up in years. If you consider yourself a senior saint, please see how God is not finished with you. If He was, you would have already checked out of here and you'd be in heaven. I put this statement down. Don't die before you die. Don't die before you die. Keep going in the will of God till He calls you home. It doesn't matter if you're 90 years old, 99 years old, 80 years old, 85 years old, 70 years old, 75 years old. I've heard things like this. I just can't do it like I used to be able to do it. God understands that. And God doesn't expect you to do it like you used to do it. But that doesn't mean He's finished with you. That doesn't mean He wants you to just sit over and sip on Gatorade until He calls you home. He's got some great works for you to do. Don't quit on God. Preacher's getting ready to go to Brazil. He's what, 81? I still wouldn't mess with him. The only thing that's on my side, I think I can outrun him. I think. I'll guarantee you one thing, I wouldn't get in the cage with him. I'll guarantee you that. He gets them big old hands on you, it's over with, friends. I'm telling you. He's 81 years old. He's slowing down. He'll tell you that himself. But he sat right here, I think it was on Saturday morning, and he said, "I'm going to Brazil." And he's talking about how old he is and all this kind of stuff. But he said, I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going. Can I be your cheerleader tonight? If you've kind of swallowed this that, well, let's just let the younger folk do it, please don't do that. A lot of the younger folk don't even know what faithfulness is. Amen, friends. They'll come to Sunday school and Sunday morning, you don't see them the rest of the week. And you want them to lead the church? I don't. They can't. That's part of the standards. That's part of the qualifications. They're not going to be here Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're going to lose all of our Sunday school teachers because I'm not putting a Sunday morning Christian teaching a Sunday school class. Somebody say amen right there, friends. They need to be faithful to church. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to help them? Why not the older saints are here? You know one of the greatest things older saints can do? Pray for the work of God. Pray for the work of the ministry. Something else you can do is ask God now. God, lay a younger person on my heart, ladies with ladies, guys with guys, and ask God to give you somebody that you can mentor. Have a Bible study with them. Teach the right things. Encourage them. Take them out to eat with you. And say, hey, what are you doing for God? Hey, what would it do, some of these young ladies, if somebody like a Margaret Stringer would call them up and say, I want to take you out to eat and talk to you for a few minutes. So you know how we fall into something like this? Well, I can never be a Margaret Stringer. You're right. God didn't make you Margaret Stringer. But he made you you. And he's given you something to do. Do it. Don't quit. We learned that here. Then let me give you the third thing and we'll close. See, number one, the making, that whatever God calls you to do, he makes it possible for you to do it. See the mandate, that even in the midst of his doubts, fears, questioning God, he still gave him commands to obey. And in that we learned that it's our responsibility to obey God no matter how we feel or how people respond. We learned from that it's our responsibility to give all of God's message and that we're never too old to do something for God. Then let me give you the third thing, and that's the must. The must. You say, what's this? Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of our text here. Chapter 7, verse 8. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men, the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, let me explain this. It's going to take me a minute to get to the must, but it'll make sense when I get to it. The Lord continued to speak to Moses and Aaron and told them when Pharaoh asked them, show me a sign. By the way, Pharaoh had every right whenever they come in and demanded the Israelites to be set free. I mean, he's got them as slaves. I mean, put yourself in Pharaoh's shoes. Who do you think you are coming in here telling me to let them go? Show me a sign. And he said when he asked for a sign, he said, tell Aaron to take his rod, throw it down, and it'll become a serpent. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, cast the rod down, and it became a serpent before them. Then Pharaoh called for the wise men and sorcerers. Now, the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, says among those was two people named by Jannes and Jambres, or however in the world you pronounce those names. They came in and they cast their rods down, and their rods also became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, before I get to the point, the must, what are you talking about? Before I get to that, can I put that to the side a minute? Let me give you a couple of other thoughts here. Before I get to the main thought, let's remember an important lesson here, that the devil is a great imitator. He really is. Miss Lashley put it this way, and I like this. She said the most basic thing to realize about Satan is that he is an imitator. We need to understand that Satan can imitate some parts of God's work. He really can. And he can lead people astray thereby. That's why we need spiritual discernment to know the difference. We need to test everything that takes place by the truth of God's word. Seek 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Matthew 24, 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, talking about the tribulation period. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, even him, talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You may tell you why so many people are going to follow the Antichrist? Because of the signs and wonders that he's going to show them.
But he's being strengthened and empowered by the power of Satan. And may I tell you that not all power, I know all power comes from God, but not all power is a demonstration of God's true power. He's a deceiver. They even threw their rods down, and in the power of the devil, they became serpents also. Secondly, before I get to the must now, we learn another point here, that the true God is so much more superior in his power to the devil and his works. We see this in the thought that it's Aaron's one rod against the sorcerers, the magicians, and all the others. And Aaron's rod was hungry that day. And when they all became alive, Aaron's rod went on the war path and swallowed every one of them whole. Now, what's that mean? That's God stepping in and saying, I know that you can imitate me to a certain point, but let me tell you that you're not as powerful as I am. We serve an almighty, all-powerful God. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, let me get to the main thought here under point three, the must. See the making, the mandate, the must. What's the must? While we can all learn from these other lessons, the main thing the Lord showed me in these verses is how we need to see the necessity, the must, of depending on God in the work and will of God. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I want you to see Aaron and Moses. I've already taken the rod that was given to me, but I want you to see Aaron and Moses. And I'm going to use this microphone stand and show you what I'm talking about. They have a rod. God says, I want you to go unto Pharaoh, and when he asks you for a sign, throw your rod down, and it'll become a serpent. At that moment, do you see Aaron and Moses coming into the room? Use your imagination now. They have the rod. Let my people go. What sign do you have? At that moment, all they had was God's word. That's all they had. And when Aaron threw his rod, I'm not going to throw this, but when he threw his rod, he was saying, I trust God. He was completely dependent on God's word and God's power. Can I explain this? What if that rod had not become a serpent? What if he'd have taken his rod, thrown it, and it just clanked and stayed a serpent? Aaron and Moses would have looked like fools. Amen or not, friends? But because they trusted God's word and depended on God's power to come over that rod, God did a miracle that day. What I'm trying to say is this. God has made his work and his will in such a way that it can only be done with his power. If you and I try to do the will of God and the work of God in our own power, you know what he does? He lets us try it our way. And we fall flat on our face. But when we go to God in prayer and he gives us promises and he shows us things and we trust the word of God, we trust his word, and we rely on his power, and we realize it's not an option, it's a necessity. I've got to have his power. I've got to have his spirit in my life. I've got to have the power of God come over me. At that moment, the spiritual rods become spiritual serpents. And something that in itself has no life, when God touches it, he gives it life. I'm saying this, a dependency upon God's word and power is not an option, it's a must. They had to have it that day, or that rod would never become a serpent. They had
to have it. Now, I'm about done here. But you may be thinking right now, how do I get it? How do I get that power? Do you want that power, friends? I mean, do you really see that you need His power? You've got to have it. I mean, without it, there's no life. But with it, there's no limits. How do you get it? The same way Aaron and Moses did. You know how they got it? They obeyed God. That's it. They obeyed Him. He said, when you go in, throw it down. And they went in and they threw it down. You say, is it really that simple? Can I say this? Yes, it's really that simple. Somebody said this, when we disobey, it is like pulling the plug from the socket. You ever tried to vacuum and forgot to plug it in? You ever tried something like that? Well, this thing's not picking up like it should. And the whole time you realize I never plugged the thing in. Hey, it works a whole lot better when the power's running to it. Can I say this to you? So do we. Jesus said in John 15:5, He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me give you the conclusion of this. As chapter 6 concluded, we saw Moses still reserved in the will of God. He's still doubting, he's still fearing, he's still discouraged, he's still questioning God. Why? Me? You still want me? At that moment, chapter 7:1-13, God spoke to him. And in our message, we saw that he showed him three things. Number one, he showed him how he had made him what he needed to be to get the job done. He showed him, number two, how he was not to question. He was simply to obey his commands, no matter how he feels or how people respond. Number three, he showed him how that if he was going to get the job done, he must depend upon God's word and God's power to get it done. Now you say, did it make a difference? It is interesting to note how chapter 7 marks a change in Moses' life. When we get back to Moses and how he responds, you'll see he's no more timid. He's no more discouraged. Has he been up to this point? Absolutely. Has he been questioning? Absolutely. But not after chapter 7:1-13. These events seem to truly make a difference in Moses' life and ministry. And can I say this to you? Realizing that he makes you what he's called you to be. Realizing that we're not to question, we're just to obey him in spite of our doubts. And realize that it takes his power and we must depend on him to make a difference. Those same three things can not only change Moses' life, they can still change mine. And they can change yours too. See these things and ask God to speak to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for the privilege to pray. I do pray for these thoughts that, Lord, whatever you tell us to do, you make us to be. These thoughts that, Lord, all we're to do is simply obey your commands, even in the midst of our questioning. These thoughts that we must depend upon God's word. We must depend upon God's power to get the will of God done. Help us to see it. Help us not just to know it, but help us to see it. Help us to see these things. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. You may be lost tonight, needing to be saved. I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. So if you're here tonight, not sure that heaven's your home, come. Let us take a Bible and we'll share the gospel with you.
Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about the will of God in your life. Maybe he's speaking to you about how you've been thinking that you've not been fighting against the will of God, but you just honestly feel like you can't do it. You feel like he's asking you something that you just can't do that. And God has spoken to you tonight saying, you know, I never ask you to do something that I don't make it possible for you to do it. Do you understand that? Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about, hey, maybe you're questioning, maybe you're doubting, maybe you're fearing, maybe you're discouraged. And God is just whispering, you know, in the midst of your doubts, just keep obeying me. Just keep doing right. Even when you don't understand, just keep going in the will of God. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about throwing your rod down and just depending upon his power and his word. I don't know how God's speaking to you. Maybe some of you just want to come and say, God, take my rod and give it life. Make me alive and help me make a difference. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thoughts and use them in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. With the Gary singing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your word and carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee.
We want to pray together and be dismissed. Teenagers, I'll give you an opportunity to come have your picture taken with your pastor in this pink tie. It's up to you if you want to come. It's your chance. So at the end of this service, if you'll come up here, we'll get a picture right quick. So that way if you put it on Facebook, your face is on there with me, okay? I'm just playing with you there, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Bless us now, I pray. Help us, Lord, to understand these three principles. To see them. Put them into practice. Make a difference in this life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much. Let me remind you about Faith Promise. If you have not filled out your card, you can put it in the offering plate anytime, okay? Try to bring somebody with you on Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.